may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This music ministry with JJ is so awesome. I thank God. Just to be back at First Cathedral. Yes. And to be with my dear friend and brother, I thank God. Archbishop Leroy Bailey. Thank God. First Lady, we honor you. Let's thank God for First Lady Bailey. We appreciate you, woman of God, just the gift to the body of Christ, to all of our fellow laborers in the ministry, to officers, members, and friends tonight. We greet you in divine love, just to let you know that Jesus is still the answer. He's the answer for the world today, supplying needs, and I love him with all of my heart. Even with all the rain that we experience, thank God you can feel the rain. God is good, and I thank him for his goodness and to be able to share in this covenant conference. And we're just asking God just to do what he does. He's doing it again, and we give him honor and glory. Listen, as we share tonight, and we've come, of course, to just bring a word that will strengthen you, but we do have some material with us tonight. I hope that you will invest in it. We talked about our book last year. Hope you have it, Unemployed Faith. But my wife and I, of course, being one church in two states, and she is an awesome woman of God, ministering the word of God. And so we have a series together. It's called It's Time to Laugh. It's Time to Laugh. And she's preaching from New Orleans, and I'm preaching from Atlanta, just to see how God brought us back. And brought us back so strong. And that's available for you tonight. Also, I'm celebrating 30 years of television ministry. My. We lost most of our tapes in the flood, but we were able to go back and get the first three that I've ever preached, the first three telecasts that I ever preached. I looked a little crazy. I was just 29 years old, but I thank the Lord. The word was good. And so it's three DVDs, and you can get that in one package tonight. And of course, I hope you have my latest project. It's called Memorable Moments. It's a singing CD. Our record company put 11 of our favorite hits through the past 25 years on one CD, so you're able to get it. It goes all the way back to God's Gonna Wipe All Tears Away, Bow Down and Worship Him, Let It Rain, Nothing But the Blood, Cry Your Last Tear, and even our latest one, Lord, Whatever You're Doing in This Season, Don't Do It Without Me. You can get them all tonight, and I promise you that it will bless you. Well, we're here, and I thank God. Of course, I honor, and I tell you again, you have one of the greatest leaders, preachers of our time. I mean that with all of my heart. I am so glad to call him friend and to call him brother, and just to see what God is doing in this awesome place through him and through you. Continue to allow God to bless you as you continue to grow and do the things that he has for you for your life. Listen, we're going to get into the word of God. Thank God for our armor bearer who shares with us tonight, Elder Emmanuel Spurlock. He is with us tonight. I thank God for him, travels with us. Also, one of our great musicians from Changing a Generation in Atlanta, Georgia, Brother Philip Corniche. He's with us tonight. My son usually travels with us, but he is on tour and, of course, sends his love. I thank God for PJ as God continues to bless him. But tonight, I want you, as we get ready for the Word of God, we're going to go to the book of Joshua, Joshua, the 11th chapter. Joshua, the 11th chapter, I'm going to focus in on verse 1, and then I will drop down to verses 5 and 6. And before we read, we make a confession as it relates to how we shall receive the word of God. For the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. My educated mind can kill this word. I've got to place the spirit over the mind if I understand what God has for my life. So if you'd lift your Bibles and repeat after me, if I receive this word with my mind only, this word will be dead for me. But if I receive this word with the Spirit over my mind, this word will be life for me. Lord, I don't need religious form and fashion. I need life. Look at somebody and tell them, receive life. Yeah, Jesus has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, let's look at verse 1. It says, and it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he sent to Joab, king of Madom, and to the king of Shimram, and to the king of Ashap. Verse 5 says, and when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And verse 6 says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hop their horses and burn their chariots with fire. I want to talk just for a few moments tonight on when the odds are against you. Before you take your seats, why don't you look at somebody and tell them, when the odds are against you. You may be seated. You may be seated. In our text tonight, here comes a new enemy. And the new enemy is strong. The new enemy is powerful. And I'm sure Joshua and his generals, his lieutenants, his captains began to look at one another, and they possibly ask each other, what shall we do now? Well, I'm here to tell you, people of God, God knows us, and this is why he steps in with these words in our text. He says, now, Joshua, don't be afraid, because by tomorrow, this time, it won't even be a problem. Now, you have to understand the seriousness of the moment. I want you to see the seriousness of the moment, because this is why it was a new enemy, a stronger enemy, because you see right here that Jabin called three other kings and said, the children of Israel is powerful, but if we join forces together, four armies against the children of Israel, we can win. So this time it wasn't one king, but it was four kings. It was not one nation, it was four nations. It was not one army, but four armies. How do you handle this situation? That's why the Lord said, now look, you're looking at the situation, you're looking at four armies coming against one army, but don't be afraid, Joshua. You can look at them if you want, but by tomorrow they won't even be a problem. Whatever our difficulty may be in life, if we just search God's word, we will find definite encouragement that will meet us at our point of need. The army before Joshua may have been as the sands of the sea in number, but what is the host of Jabin compared to the host of Jehovah? If God be for you, he's more than the world against you. Now, I want you to know that in the natural, the children of Israel, in the natural, they had a right to be fearful. And the chief object of Israel's fear would naturally be the combination of all of these nations. the combination of all of these nations. They could handle one, but it was the combination of all of these nations. And I got some news for you tonight. When fear comes in and the devil tries to give you the spirit of fear, it's usually because of a combination of things coming against you. Oh, you could handle one problem. You could deal with one problem. But when I'm dealing with one problem, here comes another one. I just have one problem stacked up against another, and it just seems to grow. That's where the problem comes in. I could deal with one, but when it's a combination of things, I mean, I'm just trying to barely pay my house note, and the air conditioning system goes out. Lord, it's a combination of things. I'm trying to pay my car note, but as I pay my car note, I'm looking at my tires and my tires are bald. It's a combination of. Anybody know about a combination of things that will just stack up on you? And how do you deal with a combination of things? Well, you too, like Joshua, must listen to the word of God, because tonight this is a prophetic word for you, that no matter what you are dealing with, if you can trust God in this hour and don't be afraid by tomorrow, this time. Well, I don't even have to see the whole manifestation by tomorrow this time. But if my faith can increase, well, I'll stop wavering in my faith. One minute trusting you, the next minute doubting you. But oh, this is a new season for me. And I'm speaking to somebody's tomorrow right now, that your tomorrow is going to be better. Now, nothing is placed in the word of God. You can sit down. Nothing is placed in the word of God by accident. Here is God saying that by tomorrow this time, it's going to be all right. Now, this command was given for the express purpose of removing a temptation to carnal confidence. That's what a combination of things coming against you can do in your life. It can lead you into carnal confidence. Carnal confidence. Confidence in carnality. Now, what is carnality? Carnality is when you allow the flesh to get into that which is spiritual. I know what's spiritual. I know what the word of God says, but because of what I'm dealing with in my life, I find myself yielding to carnal confidence. And don't act like you're so deep that you have never been tempted to yield to carnal confidence. Even Paul said, every time I go to do good, evil is right there. I really know what to do, but I'm dealing with a combination of things that keep messing with my mind, and I find myself running and yielding sometime to carnal confidence. You have to be careful of putting your confidence in carnality. That happens so many times. There's some spiritual people in this place, and you know, as spiritual people, what you are supposed to do, even as it relates to your enemies. You know what the Bible says, how you're supposed to treat your enemies? It's simple. It says what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to love your enemies and do good to them that despitefully use you. I'm talking about people who misuse you on purpose.
wasn't no accident. You meant to hurt me. You meant to backstab me. And here's God. He says, now, you still have to love them. But sometimes you have some enemies that work on your last nerve. You can deal with some folk, but some folk won't stop. They just keep on working on your nerves. So finally you find yourself yielding to carnal confidence, and sometimes that combination of things hit you right at church, and at the close of service you see that enemy at the back door and you just say, I can't take it no more. You working on my nerves, and I'm saying, we're gonna have it out right here right now. And sometimes you'll have some spiritual people around you say, now baby, don't let the devil cheat you. He's trying to cheat you. Now you just heard a good word. Devil's trying to mess with you. All you got to do is pray. Look, I ain't praying now. Get away from me. I'm out of church now. I'm about to go off, and I'm going off in a big way. Carnal confidence comes from a combination of things that keep messing with my mind. Do you realize that's why some folk don't tithe? Spiritual folk know you're supposed to tithe. How many sermons have you heard that you're to try God? Prove him. See if he won't open up the windows of heaven for you and pour you out blessings where you won't have room enough to receive it. But isn't it amazing, when it comes to tithe, there are some intelligent people. I mean, smart people. People who even have degrees. You can talk about the tithe, and every time you talk about the tithe, they want an explanation. Now, what you mean, Pastor? Tithe. What? The tithe. I need you to break that down for me a little bit more. You know what the tithe is, but you see, when you want to yield to carnal confidence, you don't know, I got a combination of bills over here. My house note is due. My light bill is due. I'm dealing with hospital bills. How do you deal with these kind of situations in your life? And so this word comes for somebody who's tempted to yield to carnal confidence. God steps in and says, now don't you worry, you got to trust me on this one. By tomorrow, this time, see what God is trying to do. God wants us to look to him, and to look to him alone for victory. So what has to happen when the odds are against you? And they will come against you sometimes in the natural. When the odds are against you, we must carry God's word, God's way. Even when the odds are against us, our one work in the prosecution of the campaign of salvation is to believe this word. No matter how things look, you have to believe this word, even when the odds are against you. I come to tell somebody tonight, I believe this word. I am not up here to entertain you tonight. I really believe this word. I believe that I can have what it says I can have. I believe that I can be what it says I can be. I believe that I can do what it says I can do, even when the odds are against me. I believe even when sickness hits my body, that he was wounded for my transgression, and he was bruised for my iniquity, and with his stripes I'm healed. I believe this word. I believe even in the midst of a recession, that my God shall supply oh my, I believe this word. Even when the enemy comes against me, I'll stand back and say, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I dare you to touch somebody. Tell them, I believe this word. I believe this word. I really do. I'm not playing about this. I believe this word. So listen, sit down. We got to tell it. We got to proclaim Christ and Him crucified, though fully conscious of the fact that to some this word is foolishness. To some it's a stumbling block, because you even have to be careful in the 21st century. There are some preachers, 21st century preachers with 21st century churches, they have already proclaimed that I no longer preach bloody sermons about the blood, because it's too bloody, and that turns people off. There's violence out there. People don't need to hear a bloody sermon about the blood of Jesus. So I just leave that alone. My desire is just to soothe the intellect, to get people to worship the intellect and forget about what the word of God really says. But I don't know about you. I'm here to tell somebody, I don't care who you are, tide can't wash away your sins. Call me old-fashioned, but nothing but the blood of Jesus. Man, we can't forget about the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, how precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount. Oh my God. We have to, even when the odds are against us. Oh yes, I believe in prosperity. I believe in the house. I believe in the car. I believe that God wants us to prosper. But we try to preach sometimes to just things that appeal to the eye or to the ear or to the mind or to the emotion. But I'm here to tell you, people of God, we still have to come under the divine order of God. Don't get it twisted. God wants you to prosper, but before He talks about the prosperity and the things you should have, this is what He says: seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. But I gotta get my house in order first, in order to receive the blessing. There's a word in the church that we don't really use anymore because it offends people. And I'm getting ready to give you that word. I don't know how close the Archbishop's security is, but if you have to come up here and protect me, you may have to do that tonight, because I'm getting ready to tell you a word that people don't like sometimes, because all they want to is you to say, you're getting ready to get this, you're getting ready to get that, you're getting ready to get 100-fold, you're getting ready to get 1,000-fold. But I'm going to give you a word tonight that some people can't deal with, and they just would rather for me to skip over it, but I can't skip over it tonight. And that word is, are you ready for it? Yeah. Repent! Oh. Some folk just think that they're going to be blessed anyhow. But I'm here to tell you, baby, when you come short of the glory of God, why don't you touch somebody, tell them you got to repent. You just can't. God just ain't going to bless you anyhow. I don't just want the blessings of everybody else. I want the blessings because of my obedience. And sometime you got to realize what you got to do. Woo! Bible says you got to repent. So listen, this is so key. I thank God that there are those who do their fighting not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the power of God. Do you know what we have over the world? God has given to us His power. Jesus went back and Jesus said, I'm giving to you the keys to the kingdom. That's power, y'all. Whatever you bind on earth, it's going to be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, it's going to be loosed in heaven. I don't know about you. I thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Power to cast out demons. I dare somebody to scream out, power! Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you tonight. I thank you tonight for your power. And so this is what God gives to us. He gives to us his power. So I want you to look at this finally, and I'm almost through. I want you to look at Joshua now. Joshua listens to the voice of God, even when the odds were against him. Joshua said, we are going into the enemy's camp. Now, can't you see some of the generals or the lieutenants looking at Joshua saying, now, I don't know where you've been. I don't know who you've been talking to. But Joshua, we're not dealing with one army now. We're dealing with four. Four. One, two, three, four. Now, I know we have been successful in the past, but we have never experienced anything like this. But Joshua said, we're going in because I received a word from the Lord. And he told me, don't be afraid, because by tomorrow, this time, all of the four armies, the four nations, the four kings won't even be a problem. He heard the voice of God, and he believed what he heard. Oh, I'm praying for the day that the people of God can get excited in this area. God bless me with three great children, and they're all grown now. But as they were growing up, I decided that I was going to bless my children if they did good in school, they worked hard at a certain age, that I was going to get each of them an automobile. So I remember my eldest daughter, Jasmine, when I surprised her with her first automobile, and oh, how excited she was. 4 years later, it was time for PJ, and I gave him his car. Well, because I did it for Jasmine, and because I did it for PJ, my baby girl now, she knew the track record.
KQJO, St. Joseph Natchez 99.3.